Once upon a time, Vicky was trapped by the curse of her thoughts. It had her believing she was powerless, imperfect, and weak. Then one day, the curse started to lessen, and Vicky could see a little clearer. As each day passed, her thoughts improved until she broke free. She then began creating magic in her life. Now, Vicky is getting ready to marry her Prince Charming. This is her manifesting success story.
Hello and welcome to this episode. I am your host, Cassie Parks, and I am back with Vicky Pace, for another chapter in her manifesting success story. Welcome, Vicky.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to catch up with you today. I'm really excited because I think you had to write out, which I love this, write out how to say your manifested total. So what is the total that we're celebrating?
446,914.65.
Yay. How does that feel?
So amazing. It's so freaking great.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. You're not the only one. That's why it's like a big deal when I saw you write it out. Like learning how to say those bigger numbers or like having them down is, it's all part of the process.
I know. And as I was typing it, I was like, I know how to do this, Vicky.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Amazing. All right. Well, tell us about your biggest aha and deepening of the understanding of the law of attraction that you've had recently.
I have been embracing more the idea that it is not the 20-minute assignments I do every day. It's the other 23 and a half hours I live, that those hours are what is actually creating more of what I want and the life that I want. So, that's it's been your coaching for me for like freaking years, but like so many things, it's just like, I don't know. You just have to be in this right space to accept the best coaching.
Yeah. And so, I mean, why do you think it clicked now?
I think I'm just, I'm in a better place, in terms of everything, but like also in terms of like LOA, like I just am, my mind has been opening up more and more to stepping into my coach self. And I just think, and I have so much that's actually happening that's in my future life. It just, so much of it feels super real. It just has felt a little bit easier to kind of just click into my future self all day throughout the day. And then seeing the results coming and seeing things unfolding around me that I'm like, oh, I haven't, not that I don't do assignments all the time, but like, I've been almost stepping back a little bit from doing the assignments. Mm-hmm. I don't think you and I have had this conversation, but Kimberly and I had a conversation about this at the most recent photo shoot, how she told me she only does like 3 assignments a week. And that was astonishing to me. I was like, you can't do less than 5 assignments a week. But I was like, no, like I've graduated to a place where I don't need the every single day assignment work that I used to do. And I think, I wonder if like that realization is what made me start leaning more into my everyday hour by hour, minute by minute. And not that I'm like in my head all the time, but it just like, I'm more aware of my thoughts and my words and what I'm owning throughout the day. And I'm just feeling better and I'm feeling more progress.
I'm going to ask you this because we can have this discussion. I think it's looking at it from your, as a coach, I think you also like let go of some of the like control. Like there's a difference between trying to control the outcome and being present and choosing the outcome. And I think you really like have let go of a lot of that control. I mean, I think it naturally happened because you're stepping into your future self. I think it's shifts that happen in your life that you've created, right? Mm-hmm. But I think when you were able to put down some of that control, mm-hmm. then you're able to open that space to be present and to actually choose.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And like, I might be skipping ahead in terms of our questionnaire, but
that's okay.
A lot of my relationship currently has been a lot of like, I know where our relationship is going. So it really has been very easy to like sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. I know where our relationship is going. It's not going to be a surprise to anybody. Like everything's going to be fine. And I don't know if it was the chicken or the egg, like which came first, but I just feel like that and also creating my life have sort of started walking in tandem now. They're both, I'm sitting back in both and allowing of both.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized that. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to ask you a question that wasn't on the questionnaire. After having that discussion, tell us the difference between control and choice. Or like trying to control versus choosing.
Mm. To me, control has a lot of micromanaging involved and a lot of little things along the way, but choosing is choosing the big picture. And I don't know if that's overall or if that's just what we do here in terms of choices. I choose to, like when I tell myself I'm choosing to be my future self right now, or like, does she think this? No, I choose to be like my future self. That is a big picture. That's not just like, mm-hmm. no, she thinks this. It's a big expansive feeling, and controlling is like manipulating and kind of white knuckling it and forcing and pushing what you think needs to happen, and letting go and opening up to that bigger picture of trust that like you've spent the time, you've created what you want your future life to look like. Now you just relax, and along those ways are choices. I feel like I'm rambling. What am I trying to say?
No, I think you're doing great.
Yeah. So I would say, controlling is like micromanaging, and choosing is trusting. Mm-hmm. But it's not like choosing is very black and white.
Yeah. But it's like, oh, I'm just trusting. Like it's a choice. It's like both a choice to choose and then a choice to trust your choice.
Right.
Right. And instead of like micromanaging and analyzing, oh, like, but does she think that? Oh, should I think that now? Should I do this? Should I like, right. It's not, it's a constant, it's surrendering to just, you mentioned the four future self question. Like, does she think this? No. Okay, cool. Like, and really accepting that simplicity of the answer and not having to like dig in or understand or any of those other things.
Yeah. It's trusting that you don't need to nitpick it. You can just trust the no and move on, or the mm-hmm. yes and move on. And
yeah.
Or just trust it. You don't have to like write a 4-hour journal entry about it, or no offense to people who do that, but like you don't have to do that. You can just trust when you choose and move on yeah. with your life. And I feel like it just makes life a lot easier.
Yeah. Cause you actually get to live life, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's the other part of this, is that it leaves all this space to actually live your life and live mm-hmm. your future self life. Now those parts that are here, instead of being in this place of constantly trying to control the creation.
Yeah. And being in that headspace of like always controlling and always, it's like puts a lot of pressure on yourself to get it right, to do all the things you need to do. It's like a lot of pressure. I think about the things that I used to think I needed to do. And it just, that pressure you put on yourself takes up a lot of brain space, and it takes up a lot of time space too. Like it just, it's a lot. And once you get used to choosing the yes or no, like, does my future self think this? Does my future self do this? Etc. The choices, they create more space in your life.
Mm-hmm. And it gets easier, right? Because it wasn't always easy for you just to be like, as you mentioned, like I had given you that coaching multiple times, right? Like just in this moment, does she think this? Let it go. That was an evolution. It wasn't instant, right?
Right. Definitely evolution is a good way of putting it. And I think I needed all those little times to practice, mm-hmm. even though I was like bitter about it. I just need Cassie to give me the magic wand. Screw this. But doing I feel like I haven't asked you questions in that area for a number of months. So that's cool.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. Uh-huh. I love it. Yeah. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Tell us about the coolest evidence that you've gathered since our last interview.
I'm going to pull it up because I remembered a couple of things. Oh, yeah, yeah. So we just did the workshop. Was that this past weekend?
Yeah. Like 3 days ago?
3 days ago we stopped in the workshop. Oh, my gosh. Well, during that workshop, just throughout the weekend itself, the 3 days, I just saw so much evidence. I didn't write any of it down because I just tried to be very present in the workshop, but I celebrated when I saw them and was like very happy to see them. So I don't remember the specifics, but it was a lot of little things scattered, sprinkled throughout the day. That was so fun to see. Actually, that always happens during a workshop. It's just like you're sort of barraged with evidences. Oh, but yeah, in one of my scripts, my future kid tells me, "You're so great." And I am a nanny right now. And the 2-year-old I watch, she's taken to just like without any prompt, she will just say, "You're so nice, Kiki. I love you. You're so great." I just find that so stinking fun because she didn't start doing that till Monday, which is the day after the workshop finished.
Mm-hmm. Of course she didn't. I love it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. Tell us about inspiration. Was inspiration popped up? Have you taken inspired action or not taken action because it wasn't inspired recently?
Yes, I have not taken action recently because it was not inspired. So you have a photo shoot event coming up in New York City. And usually anything to do with New York, I'm like, yes, I'm there. Cause I lived there for like 6 or 7 years. So, and my sister currently lives there. I have family living in Manhattan anyway, but for some reason, like it was a yes, but it was like a push yes. And then I was like, no, but it's a photo shoot. I have to go. I'm going to go. And then Nick came along and he's never been to New York. They're just like all these things that were like pushing a yes when it was actually a no. And I kept telling myself, like, Nick's never been to New York City. I lived there for a long time. Like, I need to do this for him. He was pretty excited and he came up with like 3 or 4 different things he could do while we're doing our photo shoot. But I finally was just like, Nick, it is not a hell yes. I don't want to go. And he was like, oh, good. It's not a hell yes for me either.
Amazing.
I know, which started a nice conversation for us. Like, we can tell each other if it's not a hell yes. Like, nobody's going to be hurt. It's fine.
Right. And what a, like, it's such a powerful conversation to be able to have, right? Mm-hmm. Not like talking about logistics or this or that, but to actually be like, yeah, it's not a hell yes.
Yeah,
it's not, you know. It's not. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And it's just fun. It's really great. Super fun practice for future conversations we'll have.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Speaking of Nick, what's the best manifestation you've had over the past few months?
My engagement ring. Now hold the phone. I'm not actually engaged right now, but
I know.
I know. Well, I know. It's just for all my raving fans. But I was inspired. I was having a conversation with my mother and she was moving like to a different condo in the same city. And she was active. Like while I was on the phone with her, she was sort of organizing her jewelry, like packing it up. And as she was talking about her jewelry, I was like, oh, do you still have that ring? My parents divorced long time ago. But I was like, do you still have the ring that dad gave you from, you know, forever ago? And she was like, yeah, I do. I still have it. It's here. And I was like, oh, could I have it? And she was like, oh, I would love that. And it's not something I've ever thought of in my life to like, I've never thought of that ring. I don't know. It was total inspiration. I was like, oh my gosh, that would be great. Can I please have it? And she was like, I would love that. So a couple months later, she came to Colorado because my cousin was getting married, big family gathering, and she had it and she got it freshly cleaned. It was beautiful. And I put it on and it perfectly fits like a glove. It fits both ring fingers. And at the time I just thought it would be like a nice family piece. I could just keep it as a nice jewelry piece. But then as Nick and I started talking about like actually getting engaged, I was like, I kind of want to use this ring that I got like got from my mom. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, oh my God, he's so great. He's like, yeah, whatever you want, I'll do that. So, so I just need to get a couple of things fixed on it. Like she welded the rings together. So I'm going to, you know, have them separated and, give my sister the wedding band. I'm going to keep the engagement ring and it's beautiful and perfect. And I'm just so excited for that. I just love that. I have never thought of owning that ring in my entire life. I forgot it existed until that random conversation with my mom.
Yay. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. And so speaking of engagement and rings, let's talk about the bouquet toss. You mentioned that you're at your cousin's wedding. So I would love if you share that story because it is amazing. Sure.
I know. So, you know, at weddings, there's like a bouquet toss. And the idea is that whoever catches the bouquet is the next person to get married or is like guaranteed to get married. Well, so I was maid of honor for my cousin's wedding and, their mutual friend, officiated. Anyway, she's about my age. And, I didn't know she was throwing the bouquet. So we were all just like started dancing. And I think, when does that happen before the first dance? Anyways, it was total surprise. They were like, gather up, the bride's going to throw the bouquet. And I immediately was like, oh, that's mine. And then I got up there and I could feel the officiant. Is that what it's called? The person who officiates? Okay. I could feel her standing next to me like really tight, like all wound up. I was like, whoa, okay. And my cousin threw the bouquet and it came directly. It was like a movie. It like landed right between us and she and I both got it. And like, I was like, we could start a tug of war. This might happen. But I immediately like let go and I was like, it's okay. You have it. I know where my life is going. Like, I don't need a bouquet to tell me where my life and relationship are going. And sure enough, later, my cousin was like, oh yeah, she never would have let that bouquet go. She was not letting that bouquet go. And I was like, well, good. I'm good. She's strong. I don't want to fight her. So yeah. And then, you know, 2 months later, Nick and I are talking about what kind of engagement ring I want. So.
Right. Oh, I love it. And I just want to repeat the line, right? Like, I don't need a bouquet to know where my life is going.
Yeah.
Like that is so LOA and so like it was fun. I mean, the story is super fun. It's actually kind of better that you didn't get the bouquet because the story is better that way. Right.
I know. And it's like my dream partner and my dream life. Like I don't need a bouquet to, you know, solidify any of that. I can just keep living my life. And I think it's a great metaphor too, for other things, you know, like Mercury retrograde, zodiac signs, all those little things. Like a lot of people who are into LOA are also into those things. And it's a nice reminder that like you can still just live and create the life you want, no matter what anybody else is telling you.
Yes.
Any of these charts or anything. You can do exactly what you want. You can live the life you want. And I'm not saying if you don't have fun, if you have fun doing those things, who gives a shit? Like just do whatever. But that was very much, it was very in flow that moment. I was like, it's okay. You have it. It's fine. And somebody got a video of it. So happy to see them. Did I show it to you at the
moment? No.
Oh my gosh. Maybe I'll text it to you, but it's just, you can see my face and be like, it's fine, girl. Like
you need it. You need the bouquet.
She spent the rest of the night. She had her boyfriend was with her. She spent the rest of the night waggling her ring finger. It was so cute.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Super fun. Well, it seems like the perfect title. Tell us what you would title this chapter of your manifesting success story.
Fairy tales do come true.
Yay. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but tell us why anyway.
You know, it's not just about my amazing partner, but like, it's about the whole life that like, this is, and it's tricky because I did not imagine or want this kind of a life for myself 5 years ago, like when I started with you, like, this is not what I wanted. And not that this is, I am by no means like making a compromise in my life right now. This is what I want 100% right now. And it's a fairy tale in that it's like to others and probably to myself in the past, I would have thought it unattainable in like a fever dream, kind of like just something you dream up and you like visualize and then you like never really get, but I'm getting it. I'm living it right now.
Of course you are. Mm-hmm. Amazing. As we kind of wrap up, I want to make sure, because I really want to talk about this because I think it's important. Some coaching that you said like really made a shift was about health things. And so will you tell us that story and talk to us about that shift? Because I think it's so important.
I want to pull it up. Where is my response? Because I remember when I was typing it, I was like, oh, this is good, Vicky. Okay, here it is. Yeah, you were giving coaching to another client in our group. Through that conversation, I think you and I had training immediately after. And I had an aha with you that I was like, I don't consider myself somebody with depression anymore. And I don't want to say that like I've healed myself. It's a miracle. But like and also I don't want to diminish anybody else's experience. Mm-hmm. If you have like, you do you, you listen to your doctors, do what you got to do. But I have spent these last few years choosing a new story about my mental health. And that has equated to me seeing myself mentally and emotionally healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yay. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And
if you think of like all of the story, like we were talking earlier about how the choice opens up, mm-hmm, that space and you no longer have all of that weight and pressure on yourself to figure everything out, all the little tidbits. I think releasing that pressure and stress is kind of what lifted the depression fog from me. And
yeah,
it was also helpful to know to own my feelings as being feelings and not needing to label them as this or that. Just feel my feelings from a morally neutral space and move through them and live your life.
Absolutely. I love it. And if you're a listener and you are just, maybe you missed, because there are episodes prior to this series of episodes with Vicky, you can go back in the archives of the show and find like LOA and depression or manifesting with depression. I think it's what the title of the episode is called. And you can hear like where Vicky was and where you are now, because I think it's such a great example of we can choose and we don't want to diminish anything. I absolutely don't think we should go around telling people like, you could just choose your way out of this. That's not going to help, because it's all going to cause resistance and it's not going to feel good. First of all, because it's a judgment at that point.
Yeah. If someone had told me that 4 years ago, I would have been like, fuck you.
Right. Instead, what we did was be where you are and realize like, you can manifest with depression.
Yeah.
And you can keep creating. And what you did, because we didn't fight that, right? Mm-hmm. We're like, no, you can still manifest. Mm-hmm. You then could create this other life where your mental health looks 180 degrees different.
Yeah. And like, it took a couple times with you, gosh, probably when I first started with you, but like, of choosing to not, quote unquote, harp on it, like to focus on the work and not focus mm-hmm. on whatever mental health things were happening. I took care of myself, of course, but mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of questions for you. Like, I didn't ask you a lot of questions about it. And through that, I did a lot of just choosing more of the life I want and the person I want to be. And it's like, we always talk about the story. Like, I starved mm-hmm. the I'm depressed story by not giving it energy for years. And now I don't see myself as someone who's depressed.
Yay. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. This has been such an amazing interview and catch up. Any other things in your heart or your mind that you want to make sure to share today?
No. That's it. Just loving life, living life. I hope everybody else is living amazing lives too.
I love it. Thank you, Vicky. And thank you all for listening. Just for reference, we are recording this November 2nd, 2022. I don't think I said that. But thank you all for joining us today. Make sure to come back and check out what else is awesome in Vicky's life next time.
The telling of stories is so powerful, both to the person telling it and the person receiving it. Since 30,000 BC, we as humans have told stories to teach and guide. And now we, with Manifesting Success Stories, hope to inspire you to what is possible in your own life. If you want more manifesting success, go to moremanifestingsuccess.com, where you'll find links to anything we've talked about on the show. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, you have the power to write your own happy ever after.